Read verses 1 through 5. Nehemiah 8, 1 through 5. And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkiljah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching."
I've prefaced many of my lessons with that verse, because I like to read. I like to read from Scripture. Those two passages, the passage in Nehemiah, shows the respect, the honor that the people gave the Word of God when it was being read. Let's see here. It's supposed to clip on. And that clips on. So, that being said, we are also told by the Apostle Paul to pay attention to the public reading of Scripture. We're going to have a Scripture reading tonight. For those of you who grabbed one of the lesson in the back, it's a lesson guide. It's really a reading guide. These are the Psalms we're going to be reading. I titled the lesson The Other Psalms because in the course of personal Bible study, I kept running across songs that were not found in the book of Psalms. And so I made a little note to myself, said the hidden Psalms. And I thought about it later and I thought they were not really hidden at all. You just have to know where to find them. They're not hidden, they're in your Bible. Everybody's got a Bible. You can open your Bible and find these very easily. But I wanted to take a look, first of all, just a quick overview of the book of Psalms. A lot of people will assume that the book of Psalms was written by David. They'd be pretty close to being accurate that way, but there's 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. 73 of those are written by David, at least they're listed as being written by David. There are 50 of them that are anonymous. 50 Psalms don't say who wrote them. Asaph was one of the chief musicians of David, and he wrote 12 of them. The Korahites wrote 11 of them. Solomon wrote one of them. Heman wrote one of them. Ethan wrote one of them, and Moses wrote one of them. Those are the Psalms that we find in the book of Psalms. I'd like to focus our attention on some of the other Psalms that we find. In Exodus chapter 15, what we have is the song of Moses after God delivered Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. After they crossed the Red Sea and they were watching the bodies of the Egyptian soldiers washing up on the seashore, we find in Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, "Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword, my hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab, trembling, grips them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stone. Until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever. For the horses of Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea." This is one of the songs of Moses that we find. Another one we find in Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm reading from the New American Standard, by the way, the update. But if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy, chapter 31, beginning in verse 14. This is the song of Moses after he finished writing all the words of the law, the same day that God told him to climb Mount Nebo so that he could see the promised land before he died. Beginning in verse 14, this is the setup. I'll get to the song, but I wanted to read the setup because it's important that we understand what this song is. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting that I may commission him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, 'Is it not because our Lord, our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us?' But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. Now therefore write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel and put it on their lips so that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. Then it shall come about when many evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify before them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants. For I know their intent which they are developing today before I have brought them into the land which I swore." So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Then he commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." And it came about when Moses finished writing the words of this law into a book until they were complete, that Moses commanded the Levites who carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so that it may remain there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stubbornness. Behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more then after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing, and call the heavens and the earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will act corruptly and turn from the way I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, for you will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of your hands." Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were complete. "Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets of the fresh grass and the showers of the herb, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man and set the boundaries of the peoples, according to the number of the sons of Israel, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him. And there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. And he made him suck honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with the fat of lambs, and rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats. And the finest of the wheat, and of the blood of grapes, you drank wine. But Jerishuan grew fat and kicked. You were grown fat, thick and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him, and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you, and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom there is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and burns to the lowest part of Sheol, and consumes the earth with its yield, and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I will send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword they will bereave, and inside terror, both young man and virgin, the nursling and the man of gray hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men, had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, that their adversaries would misjudge, that they would say, our hand is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this. For they are a nation lacking in counsel. There is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, and the Lord had given them up? Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom, and their fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents, and the deadly poison of cobras. Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine, and retribution. In time their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near, and their impending things are hastening upon them. For the Lord will vindicate his people, and will have compassion on his servants, when he sees that their strength is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free. And he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they have sought refuge? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices, and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on justice, I will render vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance on his adversaries, and will atone for his land and his people. That's the song of Moses. Very powerful words. These were revealed to Moses by God. Write this song down and teach it to the sons of Israel. Can you imagine memorizing this and passing it on to your sons and daughters? Let's go to Judges chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. We find another song. This is a song of Deborah. Judges chapter 5. Deborah was a prophetess and one of the judges of Israel. After the Lord delivered Israel from the king of Canaan, Jabin the king of Canaan, and the commander of his army, Sisera, I put in the notes that he was killed with a tent peg through his temple. Not because that's neat or anything, that's just a way of remembering. That's the story, if you've read that. I'll never forget reading that the first time. The Bible is full of interesting stories, and that's definitely one of them. The Song of Deborah, following that story, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, and give ear, O rulers. I, to the Lord, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, this Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers went by roundabout ways. The peasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother in Israel. New gods were chosen. Then war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers among the people. Bless the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, and you who travel on the road, sing. At the sound of those who divide flocks among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous deeds of the Lord, the righteous deeds for his peasantry in Israel. And the people of the Lord went down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, take away your captives, son of Abinoam. Then survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. From Ephraim, whose root is in Amalek, came down, following you, Benjamin, with your peoples. From Machar, commanders came down, and from Zebulun, those who wield the staff of office. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, as was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping of the flocks? Among the division of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead remained across the Jordan. And why did Dan stay in ships? Asher sat at the seashore and remained by his landings, by its landings. Zebulun was a people who despised their lives even to death, and Naphtali also on the high places of the field. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan. At Taanach, near the waters of Megiddo, they took no plunder and silver. The stars fought from heaven. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away, the ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon. O my soul, march on with strength. Then the horse's hoofs beat, from the dashing of his valiant steeds. Curse Meraz, said the angel of the Lord. Utterly curse its inhabitants, because they did not come to help of the Lord. Come to the help of the Lord. To the help of the Lord against the warriors. Most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In the magnificent bowl she brought him curds. She reached out for her hand for the tent peg, and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera. She smashed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay. Between her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. Out of the window she looked and lamented, the mother of Sisera, through the lattice. Why does his chariot delay in coming? And why do the hoofbeats of his chariots tarry? Her wise princesses would answer her. Indeed, she repeats her words to herself. Are they not finding? Are they not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work. A spoil of dyed work embroidered. Dyed work of double embroidery on the neck of the spoiler. Let all your enemies perish, O Lord. But let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Any one of these psalms, as we read them, are much more understandable if you read them in the context in which they're written. We don't have time for that tonight, but I'd just like to point our attention toward these psalms. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, what we find is a song of lament. write Samuel up here. Song of Lament after David learned of the death of King Saul and of his best friend Jonathan, Saul's son. 2 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. Then David chanted with this lament over Saul and Jonathan, his son. And he told them to teach the sons of Judah the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar, "Your beauty, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How have the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, the daughters of these uncircumcised will exult. O mountains of Gilboa, let not dew or rain be on you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life, and in their death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughter of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How have the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan is slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. How have the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" That's the song of the bow from David. Also in 2 Samuel, if you'll jump over to chapter 22, we find the song of David after the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies, including the hand of Saul. There are several portions of this song that can be found in several psalms in the book of Psalms. 2 Samuel 22. "And David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the ways of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God. And from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the earth were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. Fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode on a cherub and flew, and he appeared on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him, a mass of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare. By the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent them from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. And he also brought me forth in the broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind. With the blameless you show yourself blameless. With the pure you show yourself pure. And with the perverted you show yourself astute. And you save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you abase. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and he sets me on high places. He trains my hands for battle, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your help makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursue my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I have devoured them and shattered them, so that they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued me. You have subdued under me those who rise up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You also have delivered me from the contentions of my people. You have kept me as a head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. The rock, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out of my enemies. You even lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Excuse me just for a second. I knew I'd have to wet my whistle. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. This is a song of David, or perhaps Asaph. Asaph was the chief musician under King David. And it's hard to tell by the reading of this whether he wrote it or whether Asaph wrote it. But it's offering praise and thanks to God after the Ark of the Covenant had finally been safely delivered to its place in the city of David. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 7. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgment from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were only a few in number, very few, and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them. And he reproves kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name, and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Also in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, one chapter over, we find another song. This one is a prayer of David. After being informed by Nathan that he would not be the one to build a temple to the Lord, but that his son would build it, and that his throne would be established forever. 1 Chronicles 17, beginning in verse 16. Then David said, that David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? This was a small thing in your eyes, O God, but you have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the standard of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What more can David still say to you concerning the honor bestowed upon your servant? For you know your servant. O Lord, for your servant's sake and according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness to make known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make you a name by great and terrible things in driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed out of Egypt? For your people Israel, you made your own people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. Now, O Lord, let the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning the house, his house, be established forever, and do as you have spoken. Let your name be established and magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and the house of David your servant is established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed your servant to your servant, that you will build for him a house. Therefore your servant has found courage to pray before you. Now, O Lord, you are God, and have promised this good thing to your servant. And now it has pleased you to bless this house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord, have blessed, and it is blessed forever. Next, I'd like to read from Nahum. In Nahum, we find an oracle, some versions say it's a burden, the burden of Nineveh. If you have the notes, you'll notice that I wrote there that the oracle continues through Nahum chapter 3. Really, the entire book is the oracle of Nineveh. I'd just like to read chapter 1. The oracle of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are in the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make a complete end of its sight, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. Like tangled thorns, and like those who are drunken with their drink, they are consumed, as stubble completely withered. From you has gone forth one who plotted evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and likewise many, even so they will be cut off and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no longer. So now I will break this yoke bar from upon you, and will tear off your shackles. The Lord has issued a command concerning you. Your name will no longer be perpetuated. I will cut off idol and image from the house of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are contemptible. Behold, on the mountains of the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace. Celebrate your feasts, O Judah. Pay your vows. For never again will the wicked one pass through you. He is cut off completely. This is truly an oracle, is a poem. I'm not even really sure if it's a song, but it sounds like it. So I thought I'd include it in here. Kind of the same thing goes with Habakkuk, except as we go to the Habakkuk passage, you'll notice in chapter 3, Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk is also an oracle. This is following the prophetic judgment of God upon Judah that the Babylonians would soon be taking over and carrying them into captivity and destroying Jerusalem. That's what chapters 1 and 2 are. When we get to Habakkuk 3, you'll notice the last line of Habakkuk 3 says, "For the choir director on my stringed instruments." This was meant to be a psalm. I just wanted to read chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shigionoth. "Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and his earth is full of praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations, yet the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers, or was your anger against the rivers? And was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, on your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made bare. The rods of chastisement were sworn. You cleaved the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and quaked. The downpour of waters swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted high its hands. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of your arrows, at the radiance of your gleaming spear. In indignation, you marched through the earth. In anger, you trampled the nations. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head of the house of the evil to lay him open from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own spears the head of his throngs. They stormed in to scatter us. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. You trampled on the sea with your horses, on the surge of many waters. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound of my lips quivered, decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the field produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there should be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on the high places." The Oracle of Habakkuk, chapter 3. The final one that I have listed here is the Song of the Lamb. Song of the Lamb we read about in Revelation. If you go to Revelation chapter 5, you read the first reference to the Song of the Lamb. If you begin reading with me in verse 6, we'll read 5, 6 through 14. "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood many men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.' Then I looked, And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them." And I heard saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Now I'll be the first to tell you, the text doesn't say that these are the lyrics to the song. It says they sang a new song, and it says they said these words. It doesn't say they sang the words. I'm not sure if this is the song, or if there's another song that we don't know. But we find a reference again in chapter 15, verse 2. If you go with me to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15, beginning in verse 2, "I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image, and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. And all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.' After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened." And of course the text continues. But again, this is another case where I can't testify to you right now that these are the lyrics to the Song of the Lamb. We know that they sang the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb, and we know that they spoke these words. Whether there's another song that we don't know the words yet, or whether these are the words, doesn't really matter. These words are really important. When you read these words, let's read them again. Verse 3, "They sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" I want to point out that in Revelation 15, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb are coupled together. It doesn't say they sang one. It says they sang them both, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. What do they have in common? What do the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb have in common? Well, the song of Moses that we read first back in Exodus 15 was a song of deliverance. It's a song of deliverance, a song of redemption. Specifically, in essence, both songs are songs of praise for the deliverance of God's people from bondage and the avenging of the enemies of God. In Exodus, God's people were freed from the bondage of slavery. Pharaoh was conquered and God's enemies were drowned in the Red Sea. In Revelation, God's people are freed from the bondage of sin. Death is conquered, and God's enemies are cast into a lake of fire. That's what happens in Revelation. It was the blood of a lamb that caused the death angel to pass over Israel while they were in Egypt. And it is the blood of the lamb that takes away the sin of the world, as we learn in the New Testament. It's interesting that they are paired together like that, and it's interesting to notice the wisdom of God in pairing them together so that we can see that the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb are really the same song. Song of deliverance, that God will deliver his people out of slavery. And that's what we have promised to us in the New Testament. I'd like to read one more song. This is actually found in the book of Psalms. It's the other song of Moses. We have three songs of Moses listed. We read two of them already. I wanted to read the last one, Psalm number 90. I wanted to finish the lesson with another song of Moses. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust, and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands." In this song of Moses, we find another song that talks about the eternal nature of God, the transitory nature of man, and the redemptive value, the redemptive power of God to bring us back to Him. This lesson has not been meant to preach the gospel necessarily, but to bring forth a portion of God's word that's kind of neglected from time to time, as we don't read the Psalms that are not found in the book of Psalms. So I just wanted to focus our attention on that tonight. If you are here and have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, the gospel does tell us that we need to hear the gospel, Romans 10, verse 14. We need to believe, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." We're told to repent to Him. We're supposed to turn from our sins, stop sinning, and turn to God. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We're told that we should confess His name before men in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. We're told, and Jesus told His disciples in Mark 16, 16, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And we're told to be faithful until death, Revelation 2, verse 10. Those who are faithful until death will receive a crown of life. This is a perfect opportunity for those of you who have not been saved to come forward and be baptized into the body of Christ. If you've done that and you have turned away from God and you would like the prayers of your fellow brethren, now's the time to come as we stand together and sing.
Joy, the stormy, thanks I stand there.